picking up in the Tosdarash from yesterday. So the new answer today, totally separate. So again, the problem is that we have a stira and a sugyas. On the one hand, our Gemara in Chulin says, as a machlokas, about whether 50% is considered rov or you need 51%, and then Gemara concludes 51. Everyone holds 51. And that's by but. It's by Shechita, and that's by the Kli, and by Trefa, an animal. But then, when it comes to Mechitza, Mechitza, Gemara is the same machlokas, 50 or 51%, and the Gemara concludes 50. 50 works. And the Gemara's never cross paths. The Gemara's there don't bring up these cases. The Gemara is here doesn't bring up those cases. Right? And they're both like lengthy discussions. See, the problem all the Rishonim have to deal with is why not? What's the difference? What's the difference? Why the discrepancy? Must be that there's two different things going on here. Right? So we're up to the second answer that the Tosfos HaRash brings down in Aaron. He says like this. He says, this is again Aaron, Tezayin HaBeis and the Tosfos HaRash. He brings down Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Meir, who I think is probably Rabbeinu Meir Rotenberg, Tirets, Dil Olam HaOmeid Chashav Tfei. That really, when you have omed, standing wall, or substance, and parutz, and breach, and absent, non-wall, so the part which is omed, which is there, which is present, is more chashiv. Okay? And that's the universal rule. Hacha, the omed matir, by Lechitzos of Shabbos, that the Omed is what allows you to carry the Matir. So therefore, Choshev Kerov, you say that the 50% is considered like Rov. Hasam, the Omed Oser, Hashemami Kerov. And by Shlita, also that the Omed is Oser, the substance, the intact semen, is an oser, because if the semen's intact, you're not allowed to eat it. So it's 50-50. That's considered like a... Okay, so again, Tozer's answer is... Tozer's answer is, remember, is that really you always go by the omed is always... the omed is always chashuv. Omed means the thing which is there, which is present, is always more chashuv. When it's 50-50. So when it comes to the mechitza, you have 50-50, so then the wall is matir, and the wall is more chashuv, so therefore you say it's like it's a rov, and it's mutar, and since it's a wall, when it comes to shechita, it's the opposite. Say the wall, the simen is there, and that's the omed. That's that which is still there. And therefore that's more chashuv. And if we say, in order to do shechita, you really have to knock out more than that. Right, the question is, what's his idea? I mean, how's he resolving the steer? What's his concept? Maybe what he means, maybe you guys can help me out a little bit here. Maybe he means you have a conflict. You have different qualities. You have a quality, let's say, of a wall, homemade, and then you have a quality of a breach, of open, and you have them vying for possession. Is this area walled, or is this area open? Right? So this is majority rules. Majority rules. If it's majority open, then it's open. If it's majority walled, then it's walled. But let's say it's 50-50. Then what happens? So neither one has more quantity than the other one. So what he's saying is that the tiebreaker will go to substance, not to absence. Okay, in other words, because of the fact, like we're trying to, so to speak, decide what is more overarching And he's trying to characterize the place. Walled or not walled? So you have the quantity of walled and the quantity of unwalled. And insofar as one is more quantity than the other, then that will win out. That's like more significant. It's more significant quantitatively. But if the quantities are even, then you have to go into the nature of the qualities. And since the quality of something being present is more chashuv, more significant than an absence, so therefore the tiebreaker will go to presence. Because then you'll define it by that which has a positive quality as opposed to that whose nature of the quality is an absence. So yeah, if the absence is more in quantity than the presence, even though it's an absence, we're not saying there's no such thing as an absence, there's such a thing as omed. There's such a thing as parutz. And if the omed outdoes the parutz, if the absence outdoes the substance, I'm sorry, the opposite. If the parutz outdoes the omed, if the opening outdoes the substance, then it's more significant. And we'll say the place is qualified as an open place. And the other one also, if there's the other way around also, it's a walled place. What he's saying is when you have an absolute deadlock, then you come down to a question of a tiebreaker. And when you come down to a tiebreaker, he's saying is conceptually, like this is a question of chashivas, because the question is which is going to characterize the whole makom. So normally the way you characterize it is by quantity. When you can't do that, you say, well, which quality is more chashiv to characterize the whole makom? And since substance is like a positive and omed is like a non, is like an absence, which is like a conceptual quality, but it's like through an absence, saying is the omed is chashuv tzvei, and that's going to be the tiebreaker. Similarly, by shchita, you have a quality of a whole siman, of a complete siman, of a siman, and then you have a quality of a hole in your siman, right? A cut siman. So now, I don't know which will characterize the siman. So if a majority of it is complete, is healthy, then you'll say it's characterized as a healthy siman. It's a complete siman. Majority of it is cut, is absent, the hole in it is defined as a gut siman. If it's exactly 50-50, so do you characterize the siman as present or as absent? Right, as gut. So he's saying is the substance will win the tiebreaker. And you'll say it's a full siman. It has a substance to it. It's defined as a complete siman. And that will be the way you define the thing based on when you have a tiebreaker. So he's saying as it turns out, that when it comes to shlita and trefa, it turns out that means when you have the tiebreaker, you're going to say it goes by, you need 51% in order to render it cut. Because there, you're trying to render it cut. So in order to render it cut, 50% isn't going to work. So you need 51%. When it comes to the wall, on the contrary, you're trying to render it there. Trying to render present. So there, you say that 50% is enough, because the 50% will be the tiebreaker with presence. If you're trying to create absence, then you're going to have to create 51%, because it's going to lose the fight in the tiebreaker. If you're trying to create presence, then it's going to win the tiebreaker, and therefore you only need 50. This is just what he's saying. I mean, I'll read it again, but I think this is, I'm not saying that much. He's just saying, the la'olam ha'omed chashuv tvei. The omed, the substance, is more chashuv. Ha'cha de omed matir by mechitza or the omed. Substance of the matir creates a mechitza. Chashuv kirov is considered like a majority. The hasam the omed oser, and by shchita where the omed the substance an oser, chashuv nami kirov is also considered like kirov. Right? I mean, I'm not really saying much more than. Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. There is an intuitive sense of the thing.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it sounds right. Like it should be right. Existence is more.
Right, but so what I was pushing, why is it that substance and existence is more chashuv than non-existence? So I'd say it's like this, and maybe this will answer Mark's question also, is that it's funny to say non-existence is even a thing, right? But I think it is, because, see, there's a difference between, like, substance is a concrete entity. Absence is like a conceptual entity. Space. Space is not a physical thing. It's a conceptualization. Right? You don't have space. Where's my space? I can't touch the space. See, when I deal with the wall... Wall is a conceptual entity, but it's a conceptual entity which is rooted in a physical substance, right? Opening space is like you in your mind, you see space. a hole in the semen is like it's an absence of a thing, but since you know in your mind there's supposed to be semen there, so you say there's a hole, it's an opening, it's open. So that is like the nature of its existence is like it's conceptualized, as opposed to when you're dealing with substance, it exists in the physical. It's like existence has a concrete manifestation in the physical world. So when you have a tie and you have like they're vying for the definition of the object, you're saying that whose existence is rooted in a concrete reality is going to outdo that whose existence is like an abstraction. It's like, because the other thing also exists in the abstract world. It partakes of a greater existence because it's rooted in a physical reality as opposed to the other one, which is purely like an abstraction. Interesting answer. It's like a very like conceptual kind of thing, and you could argue with it. It's not, but that's what he's saying. You know, it's interesting. You hear what he's saying. It's interesting that he's pulling that out. It's like interesting that he's saying is that halacha is getting inside. You know, but there's a sense to it, and that's how he's answering the question. You know, and he's resolving the theories with it. So, you know, I don't know if you necessarily say it on your own, but. I'm just putting it off the table. I don't really see how this answers the case of the kli. I mean, I don't want to go into all the chashma now, but it seems to me if you think about the case of the kli, it doesn't really work out. At least unless I'm missing the chashma, right? But it seems to me like it doesn't really explain that case. Although, at least the havmin of the case, you could say the gemara changed, the maskana, whatever, but I don't really look. I mean, remember we're saying it, and he's not really addressing how he's going to deal with that problem, so I don't want to reconstruct the whole theory of how he would learn the Gemara. I mean, it's kind of like a Havmin of the Gemara or whatever. So I don't really know how he's going to answer it. It's like I don't really want to go into his theory and conjecture how he would explain that case. He doesn't take it up. But to my mind, it doesn't really. I mean, you have to think through the Chashman. And maybe I'm making a mistake. But from my quick analysis of it, it seems to me like it doesn't really explain that case. But whatever. I'm going to leave it go. I don't know. It's very complicated, that case. Now I'd like to turn to the Rashba. The Rashba in Chulin, okay, has a different answer for this question. I mean, this is a question, by the way. The Rishonim are all over this one. This is like certain questions. It's like, you know, all the Rishonim to deal with. It's like, that's what I said before. It's like one of like the primary things Rishonim do is like their job is to learn Shas. The Gemaras learn Gemaras. And like they have to explain a Gemara, but like they're like trying, especially they're trying to paskin, and they're trying to get to universalize, to discover the universals of Shas. And when you have two Gemaras which contradict, it's like contradictions that would allow you to come to universals and conceptualize universals, because they're obviously only apparent contradictions. So you have to kind of now to conceptualize in order to differentiate between two things. So it's like the Gemara's oftentimes brings up Stiros all the time, right? Gemara brings up Mishnah, but many we have a different Mishnah, but that's Gemara's though. But when the Gemara's themselves contradict with no apparent, the Gemara's never take it up, so the Rishonim have to come in there and fill in what the Gemara would normally do on the Mishnah, for instance, and the Gemara does on itself, but it didn't do it. So apparently the Gemara held this, the Gemara knows about these things, so apparently there's a resolution, but the Gemara doesn't have it. So it's a Rishonim job to come in and work it out. And how could you ever try to pass on Shilas about Rove or about things if you can't work this out? I mean, you work out from this Gemara, you say, oh, apparently in the Torah 51% is Rove. Now you say, whoa, hold on. I just learned the Erevin, and apparently from there 50% is Rove. So that's like, it's like an obvious thing that Rishonim like are drawn to. And this is a part of their job, so to speak, is to, you know, resolve things like this. You know? So, you know, but you got to be able to do this stuff. Like, you almost have to be a Rishon. You have to be holding in all these cases and being able to define these things and juggle all the different sugyas. And, you know, so we learn the Rishon and we follow their lead. I mean, we're not holding in the way to be able to do that stuff, but we could kind of, you know, see what they say and try to, you know, learn the sugya through their eyes. Yeah. So it's interesting that sometimes all the Rishonim go one way, but here it's like the various Rishonim take up. There's a few different approaches to this question. So the Rashba says like this: V'af agav damar be'erevin gav mechitzas the Shabbos paritz komin mutar. Even though by erevin we say 50-50 is really mutar. Bitzman besukah mekaris yukasa b'shvudim v'rosamita im yesh revach b'nei kemosam kosher. Says by schach, if you have 50-50, Schach in space, it's kosher, same thing, right? Liban domer parts kolme dafka kamosam, it means exactly the same amount, 50-50, it's good. Dilma gave suka umechitzos hilchus sagamirila. So maybe, really, in general, you need 51% for all. But here, by suka and by mechitzos, it's all hilchus mesinai. Inafki, inafki l'midrasha. Lidinama. I'll leave that, or maybe it's learned that from some drasha that we don't know. Okay. That's an answer. It sounds like a little bit of a cop out, but I'm not really explaining anything. He's just saying, oh, maybe it's definitely Menorah Zalman Sinai. Maybe it's a Limud. So therefore, that solves it. Universally, it's saying 15 each, 51% for a Rove. Oh, Torah says, Hashem said, don't do that. But it's like kind of doesn't solve the problem. You can't solve any problem by saying maybe Hashem said so. Maybe the whole, you know, maybe there's an exception. Maybe it's a limud. But like, what's the explanation? Right? It kind of sounds like a cheap answer. It's hard to argue with, but it sounds cheap. Not totally crazy because he's saying it, there is a general thing that machitzos are highly determined by Halachos from the Sinai. Garasik and Garachis and Lavud and. I mean, there's many, many of those. Pitikra and Chabad Rami. I mean, there's a lot of Halachos from Sinai and Mechitzos. So there is precedent for just saying, here's the Halachos from Sinai. But I think maybe it needs a little bit of elucidation now. The answer. I don't think he's just saying, it's just an exception. He's saying something which conceptually avoids the problem. It sounds like he's saying, really, it should be 51%. That's it. And it's a kasha. And it's a contradiction. But Hashem said, don't worry, ignore it. Here's 50. Forget the normal rules. Suspend everything, drop everything. Here, I want it to be 50. And that's it. Can't argue. It's a contradiction. Hey, Rosina. Sorry, that's the rule. But that's like, it's not satisfying. Right? It just kind of like, you could say that, but I mean, it's almost like, sounds like a... I'm not sure the word, like it's like frivolous almost. It's like I'm just saying, that's it. This is the rule, this is the exception. You can't ask any questions. This is it. Contradiction it is, you're right, but sorry. This is the rule. Like it's just not, you know, it's not beautiful, I'll tell you that. Okay, so I want to say for this something we said. It's similar to a movie we said earlier. Okay? And in different context, related context, but I don't think it matters that it's similar. But the idea is like this. So what's pshat in mechitzos? Is it pshat that really by Shabbos you need a wall? You need a wall. How does it work by 50 or by Rav? Rebbe Kula. Is it really a wall means 100%? A wall means solid. Substance, 100%. And now the halacha of Rebbe Kula tells you that is a wall. Check it out. It's a full wall. If that's the case, then you've got a problem. Because we know in order to apply that mechanism, that principle, you need 51%, not 50. That's the stira. That's the whole problem. That's what other shulman are going up in arms. The Gemara says you need 51%, not 50. Okay? But that's not the case. It's not using the normal halacha, you need a wall, and then the normal rule of Rebbe Kula. But Hamischitzos is our brand new halachic construct. Created by Halachos Mos Sinai. And the parameters of what is a mechitza, how do you create a mechitza, is determined by the rules of Halachos Mos Sinai. So what is a mechitza, according to this way? It's a 50% structure. That's what a mechitza is. It's not because 50% equals rov. A mechitza is a substance which blocks it up for 50%. And that is a mechitza. It's not that now we have a din of Rebbe Kula. Mechitza is substance which blocks the hilach as much as it doesn't. It creates gas, space, substance as much as the space. Not, and therefore it characterizes it because Rebbe Kula. You're just saying that is the halachic definition of the mechitza. Halachos Mos Sinai defines for you exactly what mechitza is, exactly the shear and the height, exactly the fact amount of space you can have in lavud, exactly all the different mechanisms. And it's like an abstract conceptual entity. It's not like a wall, 100% wall, and now you have Rov just fills it out. Now the Mechitza is like a new kind of a construct, an abstract, halachified substance. And how do you define what is a Mechitza? Rov, a 50% entity. That is El Shem Sinai. So you can't ask anymore, what do you mean? But 50% isn't Rebu Kikulo. The answer is, you're right, it isn't. But we're not using Rebu Kikulo here. We're not using that mechanism. This is a totally different thing he's saying. This is based upon Al Shem Sinai or some drasha, which is defining Mechitza. But by Shchita, it's not pshat that Shchita is a 50% cut. The Torah says Pshita is a Rav cut. Shchita means cutting the whole thing. But the mechanism of Rubu Kula, which is a universal principle, tells you that when you do 51%, that's defined as Kula. So now, so when our Gemara is learning the universal question about Rubu Kula, when you have a quality in Kula, and now you want to create it through a significant quantity, so then you need 51%. The Gemara thought Rav held 50. No, everyone holds 51%. But in the Gemara in Erevin, and the Gemara in Sukkah are discussing when the Torah posits this Hilchos Mechitzos, where the Torah has all kinds of halachos about what suffices to make something a Mechitza. In theory, the Torah could have said 40% is a Mechitza. I mean, maybe that wouldn't have been, maybe it wouldn't have been beautiful. But Al Shem Sinai is concocting, well, defining what is a Mechitza. So it's saying the Mechitza is a 50% stop, 50-cent breaker. You could have said 51% breaker. You could have said 60% breaker. You could have said whatever. The Al Shem Sinai is constructing a Mechitza. So it's saying the Mechitza is 50%. So now you can't say anymore, oh, but not that's not Rebu Kula. You're right, it isn't. Who said anything about Rebu Kula? It's a different sugya. That's why these sugyas don't talk to each other. This sugya is discussing in Kulan, when do you say Rebu Kula? When is Rov have the Chashivas? When does the quantity have a Chashivas of Kula? It's significant enough that it characterizes the whole thing. That's a totally different question. It's a sugya in Hilchos Mechitzos. When is, it's like an Erevin about when do you say you have a Shem Mechitza? So like by Lavud, you don't have Rov. Lavud is just saying it's about a lack of three. That's it, it's closed up. So you see, these are different, there's different principles operating. So that's why he doesn't have to explain what the Hilchos Mechitzos is, where he's getting from. He's just showing you that's the nature of the area. Different type of an area. Mechitzos is a special area where it's like totally halakhic, like halakhic reality. It's entity of Mechitza. So now there's no kasha. Other Rishonim who don't say this answer are saying, I guess they're learning the other way, that a Mechitza also is really 100% and using Rebu Kula. So they say, oh, which one is it? Is Rebu this or that one? And then you have to give all these other answers, right? You have to say, well, 50% is the determinant, and right, the answer is the previous answers, right? And the answer from yesterday. But that's assuming you treat it like the normal Rebu Kula, you know, phenomena. But what the Tosus, the Rashba, is suggesting is that that's not the proper way to learn that sugya in Erevin. That's a mistake. They don't learn it that way. I mean, that's his chesh. He's learning it within the Al Shem Sinai, not within the mechanism of Rebu Kula. If you learn it within the mechanism of Rebu Kula, then you have to be machalik between these two different sugyas. You know. To do tomorrow, we're done with the Rov. Okay? Basically. Not exactly, but the one I was going to get to now, maybe you'll say, even if Rove works by Kulin, maybe by Kudjim, where you have to get the Dom, because the thing is, by Kudjim, you're going to Shchita, and then you're going to take the Dom and sprinkle it. Then maybe you need Kula. Or maybe by Shchulin, it would be enough to do 50, but by Kudjim, since you need the Dom, you need 51%. So, it's kind of going to get into like a difference between Kudjim and Kulin and Shchita. And that's just, we'll do that one day, probably, not even maybe. And then after that, we're going to get to the sugya, which he did once. It says, Yesh no shchil and tchil about zof, or ayna shchil al v'sof. Which is an interesting sugya. It's like a whole new thing. Totally done with it all. And that's it. Okay.